But I just want to share it. It's really in my heart to continue sharing this. I was sharing something on Wednesday at prayer, and I want to add a little bit to that. I got up, I don't know, I was stirred at like 3 or 4 in the morning. Something just went off inside me, and I kept hearing it. And when I got up in the morning, I mean, just scripture was going through me, and the Holy Ghost began to speak to me. He said, look up the word things, T-H-I-N-G-S, things. And man, I got happy. Oh man, I got happy. And then when I'm looking all these scriptures up early in the morning, and I'll just say, I like to rest. I'm not tired or whatever, but I like to get a good rest. So sometimes for me, you know, I've shared this, some people go to bed early, and occasionally I do, but most times I kind of get stirred around 11 or 12 at night, and it's, you know, I just say trying to lay down and get back to sleep sometimes is interesting. But the Holy Ghost spoke to me as I was getting prepared for prayer the other day. He said to me, he just brought this scripture to mind in James. And why don't you turn over there, because we're going to jump into this lesson today. James chapter 1, and I got to shouting at home. Anybody ever get a good shout on at home? Yeah, but this was the scripture, and I'll read it in the King James, but I'm going to ask them to put it up in the Passion Translation, but I want to read verse 22, because I want this to kind of flow from what we just came out of giving. And sowing our seed. But look at verse 22 in the King James. I'm going to read verse 22, 23, and 24. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So how do you deceive yourself? By being a doer, by not being, it says, and not just being a hearer, being a doer and not just a hearer. And it says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So what did we just do? You could say, boy, I'd like to give, but I got too many bills, I can't afford it. You're a hearer of the word and not a doer. Gets quiet when we talk about this. Now look at verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway what? Forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now I'm going to ask him to put this up in the Passion Translation because this will bless you. It did me. I got a good shout on. This is the Passion Translation. Starting in verse 22, it says, don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it. What are we supposed to do when we hear truth? Respond to it. And then it goes on, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. Verse 23, if you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, You become like the person who looks in the mirror of the Word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. Now listen to verse 24. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of his Word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. Ooh. I'm going to tell you, when I read that, I got a shout on for a good bit. Because when you listen to the Word and you see what God says about you and then don't do it and walk away, you forget your divine origin. Ooh. So when he says, walk in the love of God, and you'd say, I sure like to, but, and we don't, you forget who's in you. You forget that the greater one's in you. You forget some things. Now, I'm going to follow that by just reading this scripture, if they would put this up in Ephesians chapter 1. See, this is part of remembering who we are in Christ. And this is settled as far as God's concerned. He's not going to change. It's settled. So we have to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Because when we hear it and then don't act upon it, it says we do what? We walk away and forget our divine origin. We are what? Born of God. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I'm a brand new person in Christ. That's my divine origin. I can do, what does Philippians 3 say? Or 4? What does it say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Boy, when he said to me, look up the word things, I'm telling you, I started thinking about all the things where it's referenced in Scripture, all the places where things is referenced, and I can do all things through Christ. Now, what is Ephesians chapter 1? This is in the Passion Translation. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father. So when we say I can't, we're self-deceived, because he's saying every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. I'm in him now. You know, there was a book, I haven't finished it yet, but there was a lady and her husband who were missionaries in Panama, the Cooks. And I was reading in there, I saw a little, the book she wrote. Her husband went to heaven about a year or so ago, and she wrote a book a few years back telling about all their experiences in Panama. And they were in, as they said, National Geographic or somebody said, they were in the densest jungle in the world. They said there were more poisonous snakes, more stuff in the area that they were in, and they lived a very, you know, they went into this area and it was nothing but, you know, people that had never seen people before. You know, people like them. And they went in to share the gospel. And they said there was so much witchcraft and trying to kill them and murder them. And her husband, he'd just stand up bold, and angels would appear and protect them. And these people in these tribes would just said, "Oh God, you know, who are those people standing next to you?" So God began to show them. But what I'm sharing is what she wrote in one of these testimonies that she wrote on. She said they were in Colombia, Panama, Colombia area. And she said these witch doctors were the top witch doctors in that region. And they said, "We hope they don't know who they really are." And that's what happens. We forget who we are. We get caught up in circumstances of life, and we really forget who we really are in Christ. We are seated above, not beneath. And so, you know, I know people say, "Well, yeah, but you know, I'm going through all of this stuff and, you know, blah, 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 and you're going through stuff." We all do. But his word, you know, when you look at the scripture in Hebrews 11, 3, Hebrews 11, 3, It says, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So he has made us in his image and likeness. So nothing that we see was created by things that are seen. They were created by what? Things that are not seen. Things that are eternal. They were created by words, and nothing that God does, he does without speaking. Everything he does, he speaks and creates. He releases words that are full of faith, and we are what? Made in his image and likeness. So when you look at John 4:24, why don't we turn over there? Not in my notes, but let's take a look. I like this in the New Living Translation, if they can put this up. John 4:24 in the New Living Translation. Because in the King James, it says, "God is a spirit." But I like what the New Living Translation says. It says, "For God is spirit." He's not a spirit, he is spirit. And so God is spirit, and the words, John 6:63, the words that I speak are spirit and life. And so we're made in his image and likeness. So we need to remember that I am a spirit, and the words that I speak will create death or life. So the words that I speak will create something. And so we need to remember that when we speak in faith, it's going to create something. So faith, you know, when we go back, Hebrews 11:1, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. So faith, words have substance. You can't see words, but words have substance. And those words create. And so the words that we speak, you could say, are containers of substance, a container of something that comes from where? My heart. So the word of God that gets down into my heart, then it begins to produce something. What? Faith. And then we speak words, and they're containers of that substance that comes from my heart, which is what? Spirit. The words that God speaks are spirit. And the words that I speak and you speak are spirit, and it has what? Substance that is in that word, which is what? Spirit. And it changes something for good or bad. And so we're going to have to stand before God. I'm jumping a little bit here, but I want to slow down. Matthew 12, verse 35. Matthew 12, verse 35 in the New Living Translation. This is Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. I'm going to read this from the New Living. It says, a good person produces what? Good things from where? The treasury of what? A good heart. That's why Jesus said an evil heart can't produce good fruit. And good fruit can't produce something that's good from the heart. Can't produce evil. So this says here, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of what? An evil heart. So out of the heart, we speak words, and those words will produce either good or bad. And we need to remember that. That's our origin. We are spirit. And the words that we speak, when spoken in faith, will produce. And they're spirit. Now go to Matthew 15. This is the King James, Matthew 15, verse 18. We're just trying to support something here. Matthew 15 and verse 18. Says, but those things which proceed where? Out of the mouth come forth from where? The heart. See, this is what we're trying to say. The things that come out of your mouth come out of your heart, and it says, and they defile the man. So when we see people that have a bad harvest, your harvest is going to be based on the words, the seed, the container that'll produce something. That's why it's so important that when we give, we don't talk about our problems and our circumstance. We talk about what we just did. We planted some seed. So I'm expecting a return. I'm expecting a harvest. And I speak that way. I don't talk my circumstance. I don't talk my problem. I talk God's covenant promise. He said he doesn't change. What? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So when we look at this, The things, God never promised that he would remove. We're not in heaven, right? We're in this earth. And so Adam turned over his lease, his authority to who? Satan. And he's loose until Jesus returns. But until he returns, what? Jesus came to redeem who? Mankind. And return, God gave back to his church, his people, the authority that Adam lost. So we are now what? Seated in heavenly places with Christ, and we are sharers or co-sharers with that authority. So I don't have to live under the circumstances, do I? Because now I have authority. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And his name, what? Is above every name. In heaven, in earth, and under the earth, in hell. So at that name, every knee will bow. So when we speak in the name of Jesus, things must respond. So the words that we speak are spirit, And faith stands in the place of the things promised until it appears. So our faith-filled words stand in the place of something that we expect to come to pass until it appears. So we don't talk about the problem. We don't say, we'll never get that. Well, then you're not in faith, because all things are possible to them who believe. And believing is expecting. Believe, if you truly believe, you expect something to come to pass, because believing is expecting. Faith is the substance. It's that word, substance, I believe is, I think the Greek word is hypostasis. It's a word that says under. It's the support. It's the support of something that we hope for or expect. So my faith supports my expectation. That's what we're saying. So how do we have faith? From the word. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So when we read it in the word, he said, I don't lie. And that's what I like when you go to, just as a reminder, what does Isaiah 55 say? He says, my thoughts, I like this in the New Living. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. Thank God. And then it goes on. What does it say? It says, his thoughts are nothing like our thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from heaven, from the heavens, and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. So that tells you right there that if we're sowing and reaping a harvest, it feeds not only us, but it blesses other people, doesn't it? So it goes on. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So his word will produce. So the way God transported his faith was through words. He spoke words full of faith, and they created something. And so what did we see in the ministry, life and ministry of Jesus? He set aside his divine privileges, and he operated as God, but he operated as a man where? In the earth. And he did what? He said, I don't do anything unless I hear my Father speak or he shows me something. That's no different today. We go through life, we come up against the circumstance. Didn't Jesus come up against circumstances? Oh yeah. The devil was loose, but what happened? God showed him how to deal with that. What to say, what to do, right? Same with us. So we don't have to live beneath the circumstances. We can change the circumstances, because what does Mark 11:23 say? 22 says, have faith in God. And it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. So our words when spoken in faith and not doubted, are spirit, and they change things. And I'm excited about that, because when we get stirred in this and we expect our words to change things, then we don't talk about circumstances and issues. We talk about what we expect is coming to pass. That's what we say. You know, I'm reminded, I'm not going to pull it up, but most of you have heard it, when Brother Copeland spoke in 2003, 2 years before Pastor Clinton went home to be with the Lord. She's at a meeting, and Brother Copeland spoke to her prophetically and said, "Watch the words." Well, he said some other things, but in that word to her, he said, "I'm increasing the anointing upon your words that you speak. Be very careful what you say." So thank God, you know, I believe that she watched her words. You know, we're all not perfect, but God is trying to get us to a place where we remember our divine origin, that we're a spirit, and the words that we speak can become effective, or more effective, when we speak them in a way that we don't include a little doubt and unbelief, and we don't negate what we've spoken. God's wanting us to do what? Come up higher, come up, expand. He's not trying to hold anything back from us. You know, a lot of times we're like, well, how come? You know, why? I remember Dr. Price, when he gave that prophecy to this church in 1990, he spoke here and said, "You're not going to stay in this building because it's too small." This was in 1990. How many years ago was that? How many math majors here? This is math 101. Thank you. 33 years. And he said 33 years ago, "This building is too small. You're not going to stay in this building." He said, "You might as well just put it up for sale." Well, you can either go, "I don't believe that. That's ridiculous." Well, Noah could have done that, and he would have drowned with everybody else. But he obeyed God, and he began to do what? Build the ark at his instructions. So when God speaks words, we need to do what? Obey them and honor them and keep those in our heart and wait for God's directions to do things. Don't get out ahead of God, but wait for him. But say, "God, I believe you. Show me how to do this that you've shown me." So I'm just talking about this here, where Pastor Sarah and Dr. Price, but there's things that we haven't seen yet, we don't know yet. But you ask for the wisdom of God. Same in your own personal life. You may come up against something and it's overwhelming. It's a mountain. It looks like this will never change. It'll never move, but God. Because mountains and circumstances are meant to be moved. They're meant to be moved. He said that the thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So he expects us to have an abundant life and to serve him. Serve him with our heart. Serve him with our strength and our faculties. Serve him with our finances that he blesses us with, not hoard it. But God is looking to do what? Expand the kingdom with the church down here and take back territories and cities and places that the devil has taken over and just caused havoc and mayhem. How many like living in a city where there's havoc and mayhem? I don't, and neither do you. But we've been given, we are spirits that have authority, and when we come together in unity, we can speak and change a region, change a territory, command the devil to take his hands off it, take his hands off the people, because there's people out there that are hurting, that have no hope, that are looking for an answer. And we got it. Hallelujah. So faith is the ability to do what? Conceive God's words in where? Our heart. And out of our heart comes a spiritual force in words that can change circumstances. It changes circumstances. That spiritual force that's coming out of our spirit through words change things. That's why Brother Copeland said to Pastor Sarah, be careful how you speak. Be careful what you say with your words, because you can do something with it, good or not good. So that's why God is looking for us. He said the words that come out of our heart, you know, those words, we're going to have to stand before him. I believe that's in Matthew chapter 12. It says we're all going to have to stand before him and do what? Give an account for the words that we speak. Sometimes that's like, I'm like, ooh. When I read that and I'm putting remembrance of it, I'm like, give me a big zipper over my mouth. Because God, this is Jesus speaking, right? He said that we're going to have to stand before him and give an account for every word that we speak. Every idle word, it says. So that's why the words that we speak need to be spoken in faith at his direction and speak victory. You know, I like what Brother Hagin said. He said, always stay on the positive side of things. Speak positive. Don't speak negative. Think positive. Don't think negative. Think faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody getting anything out of this? I tell you, it stirs me talking about it, because we go through life, we face circumstances, but don't forget who you are. Don't forget your divine origin. Don't be the person who hears the word, then walks out and forgets who you are, and you look in the mirror and you go, oh man, we can never do that. We're never going to be able to do that. The doctor said, I'll never get over this. It'll never change. That's a mountain. And mountains are meant to be changed. It said, whosoever. That's me. Who's a whosoever? I'm a whosoever. And mountains are meant to be changed and moved. And God is looking for a people that will stand boldly in life against circumstances and just stand right up to it and say, no, it's going to change. It may not look like it. It don't feel like it. It doesn't look like it, but it's going to change. And why is it going to change? Because you said so. Because he said, if you say to the mountain, move and be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but do what? Believe the things that you're saying will come to pass, you'll have it. So that means we need to be speaking what we desire, what we expect. That's faith. Faith is speaking what it expects. It's your expectation speaking. I expect to walk strong. I expect to not be dull of thought. I like what one minister said, I'm bright, I'm sharp, I'm witty, I'm wise. You know, Reverend Durant, you know, the Holy Ghost spoke to me a couple years ago. I was in my office, as they say, minding my own business. Or I was home. And he said, look up this message that they taught. I forgot about it. And it was 10 years ago. Now it's 11 years. And you can look it up yourself. We have it on our website. I was sitting in the meeting. Probably most of you were. And Reverend Annie was teaching on hearing God. And she stopped and she said, I feel like I need to share something, and I'm going to do this very cautiously, but I know his voice. And she began to speak some things to Pastor Greg and I and said, it's okay to believe for double and know that God says it's okay to call in double, believe for double. And this is what, you can watch it. It's the videos there, audio. It was in 2012. But this was the thing she also said. And those that follow you will also get double. Yeah. So now you could say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, then you won't. But God and I trust them. So what? Why did God reveal that to me to go back and look? Because he wants us to come up. He wants us to increase. He wants us to be focused with our words. Talk victory. Talk double. And don't be skittish about it. Believe that when you sow, I'm receiving double. Double what? Double the wisdom. If you run a business, I believe I've got double the wisdom to run this. Double the wisdom to reach more clients. Maybe you work for somebody. Double. Double the blessing of wisdom and knowledge on my job. Hallelujah. And since he revealed that a year ago, I speak it. I confess it. I speak, I have double. What did Leanne Sosaby say, how she talked negative about how she didn't know God? I don't hear your voice. I don't know you. I don't hear you. And God spoke up in her and said, are you calling me a liar? And she said, that hurt. He said, are you calling me a liar? He said, because my sheep know my voice. So why are you saying, I don't know you, I don't hear you, you don't lead me, I don't know you? He said, you do know me. And so she went home and started changing her speech, her words. She said, I began to say, oh, Lord, I'm so glad I know you. I hear your voice. You're more real to me than this room I'm in. You're real to me. I hear you. I know you. She said, I did that for weeks. I didn't feel a thing. She said it. I said it because it's his word. And faith-filled words began to get down in her spirit, and it became real to her. And she began to hear his voice and operate at another level. So that's what God is wanting. He wants us to come up higher, and not live beneath our privileges, but begin to walk in another level, a higher level, and begin to step out and say, I'm going to have that. I'm going to own that. I'm going to do that, and I've got double the wisdom, and I'm a tither, and God said he'll increase the fruits of my righteousness. So I'm knowing more. Hallelujah. Begin to be bold to speak it and say it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I hope that stirs your heart a little bit, because we need to be reminded of who we are and what we have. And that he's what? He's lavished us with every spiritual blessing in the spiritual realm. Well, how do I take that which is mine in the spiritual realm and get it over into this natural realm? Anybody got an idea? Faith. Because now faith is the substance of things I expect, the things I don't see. Well, those blessings that have been given to me, every spiritual blessing, Colossians says, I'm complete in him. So I've been given it. Man, I tell you, if somebody called your house and wrote you a certified letter and said, you've just been the recipient of every blessing that can be lavished upon you for the rest of your life, man, we would hear you down, we'd hear you. You'd come in here with a big grin on your face and you want to tell everybody, I'm set for life. Wouldn't you? You telling everybody, I'm set for life. Well, you already are. Every spiritual blessing in the spiritual realm has already been lavished on us because of Christ. Man, let's get happy over that. And my faith begins to take hold of it and pull it back into this natural realm. And I begin to deal with these circumstances, because the devil is trying to do what? Put the screws to God's people. Mash them down. And we're supposed to do what? Say, take your hands off my family. Take your hands off here. Bow your knee and move. And say it with faith. Stand right up to it. Say, no, it's going this way. This is the way it's going. Why? Because I said so. And when it doesn't look like it's going that way, you speak it and say, no, it is going this way. Hallelujah. It's going this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Stir your heart up with the word of God. Yes. Let the word create faith down here, and then do what? Speak it. Then you're not wishy-washy. It's like it's the spiritual force coming out in words. Hallelujah. How many have experienced that? I have. You get stirred and something comes up and you're like, where did that come from? Faith. Faith. Faith-filled words change circumstances. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, there's a scripture I'm thinking of. We'll close with this, because you don't have anywhere to go. So, I'm looking at this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, it's in my other notes. Let me go over here. In 1 Corinthians, let me just get there, chapter 3, I'm going to read it in the King James, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 21, 21, 22, 23. And this I'll read in the King James, and then we'll close reading the Passion Translation. But 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21 in the King James, it says, "Let no man glory in men." It says what? "For all things are yours." All things are yours. So don't glory in men. Don't get happy because you got something from men, because all things are yours. And then it says, whether Paul, see now Paul's writing this to who? The Corinthian church. And he said, you know, don't glory in men. He said, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Ha! And then he goes on, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's, and I'm in Christ. So all spiritual blessings have been lavished upon us. All things are ours because of the blood. Now listen to what it says in the Passion Translation. Huh, this will make it easier to understand. It says, so don't be proud of your allegiance to any human leader. I'm of Paul and I'm Apollos and I'm this. Don't be proud of that. It says, for actually, you already have everything. You already have it. You have everything. It has been given for your benefit. Whether it is Paul or Apollos or Peter the Rock, or whether it's the world or life or death, or whether it's the present or the future, everything belongs to you. And now you are joined to the Messiah who's joined to God. And how do we take which is all ours? How do we bring that over into this realm? Faith. He said, I've given it to you. Well, I don't have it. Where is it? It'd be nice to have it. And he said, take it by faith. Bring it over here. I've given it to you. Start speaking faith-filled words. Bring it into this realm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whatever it is, take it. And when I take it, I do what? I speak it. I'm talking what I expect. That's no different than what you saw the centurion when he came to Jesus. He said, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He took that which was spiritual, brought it over into the natural realm. And what happened? Jesus spoke, and he said, be it unto you according to your faith. And he went back, right? And he said, when was my servant healed? About this time. So, just food for thought. We're blessed. I'm a blessed person. You're a blessed person. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God has put no limits on us. He wants us to walk healthy. He wants us to walk supernaturally healthy, supernaturally wise, supernaturally blessed. And he paid for that with his blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you that we are blessed. And we thank you, Father, that we walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you, Father. We take hold of these blessings. And we speak them. We think on them. We talk about them. in our rising up and throughout the day, and when we lay down, we talk about the blessings and the authority that we have in Christ. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Glory to God. Just before we receive communion and then dismiss, if there's anybody here that has never asked Jesus to come into their heart, see, because that pronouncement in Ephesians is to his body. All of the spiritual blessings have been lavished upon who? His body. So it's a good thing to be in the body of Christ. Eternity comes into us, eternal life, and we have our names established in the book of life, so that if he tarries and we leave this body, we're going to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. So we should all be thinking that no one, you know, that's a good profession to make. No one in my immediate family, none of my cousins and whoever, none of them will go to hell. You begin to profess that. You begin to pray over them and say, every one of them will know Christ. Not one will be lost. Not one. Not one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think if we got, you know, like Brother Hagin, not that we all would, but just if you got a glimpse of heaven and you got a glimpse of hell, I think it would give us a different perspective. We wouldn't want anybody to go there. It's been paid for. So eternity is available to those who believe. Glory to God. So if anybody's here, we're going to pray this simple prayer. And if you're watching online, this is an opportunity to receive Christ. And as the scripture says, is very clear, we're to do what? We're to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and do what? Believe in where? Your heart. That God raised him from the dead. And then it says, you shall be saved. So let's say this. Father God, I believe in Jesus. I ask him to come into my heart. I believe that you raised him from the dead. And when he was raised from the dead, so was I. I was co-crucified. I was raised from the dead with him. And now I am seated with him in heavenly places. I am washed in the blood of Jesus, and I have a new destiny. I have eternal life in me now, and I am saved. So if you said that simple prayer, then let us know. You raise your hand, they'll give you some free information. And if you're here today or you're watching online, you can either email us online or you can write us a letter. You can call us and let us know that I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and we'll send you some information. And we'll speak with you if you want to. Share the goodness of God with you. Amen. Glory to God. I don't see anybody. Praise God. Glory to God.